Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Well, hello, welcome to podcast 133. I'm Dan Moylan, with me Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White's here, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
No Phil Hay this week, so if you are a new listener, and we did pick up quite a few off the back of Phil Hay's appearance last week, thank you to Phil for boosting our numbers. However, you are likely to be disappointed if you are expecting knowledgeable football insight that's going to be replaced by blinkered bias.
I thought Phil was too balanced, to be honest. There were certain things where he was very fair, which I didn't like.
Too much information as well. Nobody needs that much knowledge. It's not school. Coming here teaching us stuff.
Record listening figures, and we're trashing him only the week after. Thank you, Phil. But yeah, I did disagree with Phil when we asked him on one of the two podcasts whether there was an inherent anti-Leeds bias. We allowed him to say his piece that there wasn't, in his opinion, but we did duff him up in the car park afterwards.
Well, he's part of the global media conspiracy, isn't he? Mm.
The Illuminati sort of stuff. Mm. Yeah.
It's clear.
Anyway, moving on. We'll get into the weeds in just a minute or two. First, our summer special is on the way soon.
Pre-order will be going on soon. We can't be. We're just working on how much it's going to cost to post. It should be much, but it's going to be. It's not far off 200 pages. This thing.
It's a book.
A bookazine is the word I've seen used for this kind of stuff. So yeah, the logistics are still being fine tuned before we can put it out there, but it should be by July. It will be in your hot little hands, full of pictures and words and stuff. And it's really, really good.
Can you be less
vague?
Vague. Yeah.
And more specific? No. I mean, I could, but I don't want to spill the surprise. I'll tell people more once it's on sale, and then they'll go rushing to the website. We'll have to probably bolster the servers so the website doesn't go down under the strain from people rushing like it's Spice Girls tickets.
Hell of a sales pitch. That will be on sale along with subscriptions and all the other stuff at thesquareball.net. Well, this Qatar thing, it won't go away, will it? We did wonder, was it some idle tittle-tattle when we spoke to Phil last week? But the story's there, and it won't go away. We are recording at the time of this rumoured 10% sale, potentially, that's been reported in the French media this evening. So where are we all with it now?
Well, there's a report saying that it happened on the 16th of May, seems to be the most recent thing I've seen, and that it was already agreed. In
who
which case, it kind of puts some doubt on the fact that there's been meetings today, because about what exactly? He is a journalist. For how credible, I'm not sure. Abdellah Boulma is the name that's cropped up on Twitter. It's a tweet in French as well, so I'll rely obviously on Google Translate, which could mean absolutely anything.
Well, there has been a little bit of a problem with that. You know the story that got picked up where it said that Bielsa was meeting them? In actual fact, it was a mistranslation. It was somebody had run with the idea that the head of Bielsa's team was going to go meet the Qataris today, but it wasn't. It meant the head of the team that Bielsa manages, i.e. Radrizzani. So already we're seeing the problems with Google Translate. So do we welcome our new Middle Eastern rich billionaire overlords if they come? I know, Moscow, you spoke last time about having, should we say, a few qualms about it. Where do you sit with it now?
Same place. Not interested. I was quite happy up until this afternoon when it had all gone quiet. Nothing had really been said about it for a week. That there was a lot coming out from the club last week about not expecting any change in the shareholding when we go into the new season. And yeah, still... stand by. I just think it just sounds like a bad idea all around. And there's still this persistence in developing out of these little tidbits that we're getting these fantastic futures that may come to pass, but also don't seem to have any relation to what's being reported. Everybody's very excited about an oil money takeover. Well, Qatar's gas, that's the first thing everybody needs to get their head around. So if we're going to rush headlong towards a regime taking over, we need to get the mineral correct that the money came from.
Don't gas is strictly a mineral, is it? I don't know.
The resource, the fuel. And the report again today that's been in the New York Times, Tariq Panjoo, who reports a lot on FIFA corruption and the relationship to things like the Qatar World Cup, saying that there's further talks about buying a stake. And again, in the report that he put in the New York Times, on the website at least, I'm not sure it will have made the actual print, says again, it's possible that it might in the future become a full takeover, but at the moment it's just a stake. But that's no, we're getting Mbappe next week, and it's all done, and it's a signed deal, and Leeds United are filthy rich. With the emphasis probably on the filth. And yeah, I'm the same as I was last week. And as Phil Hay eloquently explained, the restrictions on what we could do with any money from Qatar anyway means that it's relatively pointless. We're not going to spend billions in the transfer market this summer. And then from the whole other standpoint of what we potentially lose in relation to just becoming a satellite club for either Qatar's aims for furthering their public image and all related to the 22 World Cup, or just making PSG better. None of it feels good.
Let me put my cards on the table with where I am, because I want to play devil's advocate in a second, but I want to get my position clear on it. I've got an open mind about it because I don't really know how I feel about it. So do I have massive ethical concerns? Yes. Do I agree with what you're saying? Yes. Does my opinion affect the outcome? No. Would I enjoy cheering on Leeds going toe-to-toe with Man City? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I am. I don't know what to think because I don't have a definitive, and I know it's a politician's answer, but it's kind of how I feel about it.
It's a football fan's answer, because you're absolutely right. We have no power. And you're right, if we are in the European Cup final in 5 years and
that long,
and a bionic recreation of the 16-year-old James Milner is scoring the goals for us, then I will be in the stands cheering as much as anybody. But I think there is also knowing that you don't have this power, knowing that the hold, also power works the other way. Leeds United has power over all of us. We submit to its power. You've got to acknowledge that, but then also make sure that you are informed enough. If this does go ahead, the things that then will come, there'll be pressure from human rights organisations, Amnesty International, talking about the workers, the migrant workers who are dying building stadiums in and other infrastructure in Qatar. Now, Manchester City fans have a very virulent response to any mention of the Emirates regime that they're part of, whereas they almost think it's an insult to them if you say that that's actually, there are bad things happening in the UAE. It would be great if we could avoid the mindset and kind of embrace the hypocrisy in a way and just say, yeah, there are things going on in Qatar where our club is now bankrolled from that we definitely do not agree with, and we should keep saying we do not agree with the fact that people building football stadiums are dying in hotel rooms where they're being forced to live. But then also you can do that whilst also celebrating the winning goal in the Champions League final. It's a very difficult situation that football fans end up being put in, not by choice. None of this is to do with us. I think the responsibility is then not to close your ears to what people say are the problems with it, because they're not criticising, and they will not be if this happens, criticising Leeds United or Leeds United fans. They're criticising a regime that we as Leeds United fans should also criticise if we feel they are to be criticised. Some people may think that those conditions are great for people and there's absolutely no problem. But then again, it was a joking point maybe about the oil money, but I think that is the starting point. If this is going to happen to the club, we're going to welcome it in. People who are welcoming, just like get these facts straight, just understand where all this is coming from, and then take a stance on it. And the amount of people on social media that I'm seeing saying, yes, bring that oil money. It's not oil money. It's like, and that's a basic thing. And that just says nobody's looking into this beyond just, we're going to have billions. And billions is possibly the least interesting part of football. Because it will also all just, like, what happens to money in football? It just goes to players and agents. So agents will become, of all the players that we sign, will become fantastically wealthy. And you and me, we'll get to see some better footballers, but it's not really a net benefit for us, apart from the team that we may be able to watch. But, you know, if I want to watch Mbappe, I'll watch him on TV.
I mean, Michael, doesn't it play nicely into the Dirty Leeds narrative, taking it to its ultimate logical conclusion if we've got a human rights issue attached to our club?
I mean, the build cost on the Spurs ground did get out of hand. If we could redevelop Ellen Road for a third of that cost at the, you know, with maybe a few thousand people dying, maybe that'd be the perfect way to really cement our position as the most hated team. But I don't really want us to be rich, but then I don't want anyone else to be rich either. Mm. I want football as a whole to just be poorer.
Be perfect, so, wouldn't it?
I'm reading a book at the moment about, it's kind of Yuval Noah Harari, about sort of speculating about how the world will develop and talking about how driverless cars will have to have morals and how everyone agrees that, you know, you should make a driverless car so it would sacrifice the owner to save pedestrians, for example. But then everyone says, would you buy a car that would do that? And everyone goes, oh, fuck no. And it's a bit like this. I want everyone else to be poor with us being just a bit richer in a moral way. And that's not how you can set things up, unfortunately.
And that's the future I was trying to outline last week. So if anybody who has decided they didn't want to listen to the Phil Hay podcast and has come straight in on this one, I was pointing out that we saw the Champions League final at the weekend. Neither of those clubs is owned in the Middle East. It's American money and it's English money. Tottenham have got the Champions League final basically self-funded with a fan owning it. That's where they are. And so their driving force is not for the betterment of Paris, of a team in Paris, or to make whitewash or sports washing is the term, the name of a questionable regime. It's just the guy who owns them has been a Spurs fan since the 1960s, and he runs it in a way to make sure that Tottenham are really, really good. So it's possible. It's still possible. And you do that with all the, I went through the semi-finalists of the Champions League, Ajax, traded on the Dutch stock exchange and sponsored by a Dutch telecoms company. Really good youth system. That's where they invest all their money. Champions League semi-final. Barcelona, they were sponsored and linked to Qatar. Their fans kicked up a stink. And then when the Neymar thing happened, they broke that barrier. And it's not really affected them because they're self-financing. They're at a level. Getting there is the problem. But yeah, there's other ways of doing it. Huddersfield got to the Premier League. How many times have Norwich been to the Premier League and their money is fucking Delia Smith?
No, but that's not the point, is that this is leagues within leagues, because as Michael said last week, it's like getting into that top four and getting to where Spurs are. It could take us another 10 or 15 years. Is there not an argument for, if we can fast track it, you know, so let's say go up, finish fourth, then win it, then win the Champions League.
And also, talking of Daniel Levy, he made a lot of money from buying stakes in lots of football clubs, which is kind of what we're saying is a negative of being owned by the same people who own PSG. We're part of a portfolio, but that's exactly how he made his money. So it's like, is that morally a good way for Spurs, but not for Rangers and Slavia Prague or someone he owned? I can't remember. He owned bits of several clubs anyway, and then also had money from property development. So I don't know. Like I said last time, there's no particularly moral way to make billions of pounds.
There's least worsts, that's, though,
yeah,
isn't there?
That's,
and that's,
it.
That's
yeah,
kind of where my stance is. If you can look elsewhere, and I think it's this assumption that it's this or nothing really just doesn't fit with me. There are other options. It's even mentioned in every article that there are several people interested in investing in Leeds United, whether it's a takeover or whether it's a stake. And all that we're seeing at the moment is that the one that we're hearing about is leaking stuff to the press, which then when you look at Qatar's whole reason for being in football is image. Then why is that the one? Why aren't any of the other five bidders talking to their contacts in the press and saying, "Oh, actually, we had a meeting with Radrizzani as well."
But how do we know that that's not somebody at the club or Radrizzani himself leaking, saying that, "Well, I've got interest from five or six parties." That's, you know, it works both ways, doesn't it? It's a PR battle, and
the whole thing could be a lie.
Well, I posed the same question that I posed last week, and maybe it's worth exploring it again. Why now? That's what I'm fascinated with. Obviously, there's a money, a funding gap every summer. But why do you think this QSI thing is coming out now?
Because they thought we were going to beat Derby. Yeah. And so now we're having lots of conversation to say, well, what do we do now? Because what was the date of the Derby game?
15th.
Right. So this story from Abdallah Bourmer in France is that there was apparently an agreement on the 16th. So I wouldn't be surprised, because you don't organise.
Straight on the phone. We'll take it.
Yeah. You don't organise a takeover like this in 2 minutes. And we're talking about, especially because it's pre-existing relations with Qatar, it's all down to Andrea Ratrizzani and his mates with Nasser Al-Khalifa. They've been friends for years, who runs QSI. So this has probably been something that's been going on for years. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a plan. Like, yeah, if we get promoted to the Premier League, this is what we do. And now we didn't get promoted. So he's gone out to Doha and he's saying, well, do you still want to do it? Do you want to do something else?
What? Well, so if they're trying to use us for sports washing purposes, they really are not choosing well. No. We're a very scrutinized club. Even over the smallest things, people kick up a stink about it.
But when you've got that much money, and as you've seen, it's like they're almost, I say they, that's a very broad brush that I'm applying there, but these Middle East billions are almost above it and don't give a shit.
I don't think it's really working, the whole idea of sports washing. I think it's just drawing attention to, because you have very little idea what goes on in Saudi Arabia, for example, because they don't own a major British football club, whereas it becomes mainstream media by the fact it's in the back pages as well as the front pages, I think. And I think them owning Leeds would actually make it worse for them.
It's also not working on from a football point of view, because as we said last time, Paris Saint-Germain can't get in the Champions League final. So they may be absolutely brilliant dominating the French league, but part of the whole conversation that QSI seem to be having is like, well, we've signed Neymar, we've signed Mbappe, we can't keep signing players because, well, for one thing, they're being investigated for financial fair play corruption, and even Nasser Al-Khelaifa is under investigation for payments related to the 2022 World Cup bid. So the heat is on for them from all the footballing authorities, and they have not got anywhere near winning the Champions League, which is what it's all about. So the strategy, and if we frame this as we're looking for the least worst option, we're saying like it's maybe the lack of curiosity. You might be right that those are the five conversations don't exist, but there's a lack of curiosity about what they might be. But if you're looking for what's the least worst option and what might work, well, Paris Saint-Germain aren't winning anything apart from the French title, which they should be winning anyway. Manchester City, they can't get into the Champions League final. They're absolutely dominating English football, but then Liverpool lost fewer games than them last season. So their Fenway Sports Group, Boston Red Sox, and all their investment is into the football side, whether it's through data and really intelligent transfers. The reason they've done so successfully is because they sold Coutinho for 200 million and went and bought a goalkeeper and a centre half and a centre midfielder and came out with a profit. So it wasn't pumping in money from America and trying to cheat the system and do a derby and get up by any means necessary. It was built over time, and yeah, they had to go to the Europa League and lose, and they had to go to the Champions League final and lose because the goalkeeper wasn't good enough, but they had the strategy there to go and like, well, no, sell a player, buy three. And that's almost...
So you're saying we should sell Calvin Phillips?
That's how football's always worked. And it's almost, it's post-Corinthian because obviously they were amateurs, but it's kind of going back to that deal of like, yeah, if you sell a player and you're smart about it, you go and buy three better ones. And that's kind of where the sport, should be, not just who has the wealthiest emirates behind them.
I mean, I don't know about you, Michael, but I'm looking forward to us playing at the Qatar Airways Megadome next year. Don't you think? Lifting the European Cup in 5 years?
Yeah, and then buying the stadium off us for Derby have set the mark, haven't they? And Ellen Road's bigger than that. We could probably buy it for 200 million.
And after big talk like that, what else can I do but point you at The Extra Ball, which is our subscription podcast. Basically, if you want to get behind this one and have some bonus material in your ears every single week, please subscribe to The Extra Ball and you can hear us tackle all the big questions like this one.
Who do you think would win in a fight, Patrick Bamford or Jack Grealish?
I mean, there's some big, big discussions to be had around that one in this week's Extra Ball.
You see, Pat Bamford was out at the shooting range in the postseason. I'm not saying he's got to shoot Jack Grealish. We'll save this for the conversation to be had.
Yeah, we're trying to get to a position where we can do loads more podcasting, and this is the way to support us in that goal. If you fancy it, $2.99 a month. Your first month is free. Find it at thesquareball.net/theextraball. Well, Qatar or no Qatar, we know that Marcelo Bielsa is staying. This happened shortly after we recorded a podcast with Phil Hay last week. I know it feels like old news given the speed of the news cycle, but worth spending a few minutes on just to acknowledge how happy we all are that Marcelo will be treating us to at least one more year of his glorious reign.
The other reason why it would be pointless to have a £1 billion transfer budget, because he won't spend anything. Yeah. You can sign any player in the world now. Marcelo, not interested. How's Berardi's pre-season doing? How's Alioski's been playing for Macedonia? That's the questions.
At least they had the good grace to announce it with a Vamos Leeds Carajo, and t-shirts and mugs are available via thesquareball.net if you want to get one of those. Thank you, Leeds United.
Did a fine job for us there.
They could do with you including the link when they post those tweets. We have to put it out ourselves. If they could every time, I don't know, could we paste a hyperlink across Victor Orta's mouth, so that every time he says Leeds Caraggio, like there's something there people can click.
Did you see the guy who sold advertising space on his face? He did it for porn websites with tattoos all over his face. We could propose that to Victor Orta. Although he's got the beard, there's not a lot of real estate there. It'd have to be forehead.
Maybe there's something already under there that he's had to see where the deal went sour and he had to grow that beard over it. Although, to be fair, we did see him temporarily beardless. Do you remember when he was shaved for charity at the start of his first season?
And they I don't believe it.
CGI.
I think he was born with a beard, was Victor.
They put the photos out of him with just a moustache. And remember last week when we were discussing the potential for a drugs baron to take over instead of guitar, he could have been the man. This is all quite a long way from Marcelo Bielsa.
Yeah, and some fantastic racial stereotyping by you there. So good news. Good news all round.
It's not racial. It's entirely his moustache.
That's fine. Well, did you notice?
If it had been a thin, wispy one, I would have said the moustache of an Edwardian school teacher, but it was not. It was a big, bushy affair.
I was going to say, speaking of adverts, did you notice that we instantly got that visual of Marcelo on the digital boards around the city with Leeds United with Marcelo Bielsa? Is the thing. Is that our new name, like Frank Lampard's Derby County, is it?
I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
At least he's a manager worthy of a football club being named after him, unlike that newcomer.
And we are still coming first. It is Leeds United with Marcelo Bielsa. I suppose it's like the Tonight Show.
I think that was deliberate.
Yeah. David Letterman.
Because if they put Marcelo Bielsa as Leeds United, then we are in danger of becoming the very thing that we ape.
Yeah. I don't even, is it memberships at the same? Because all the season tickets are gone, aren't they? I suppose it's buy your memberships that will not let you get anywhere nearer to the ground than you would be without it.
Are they still doing the tiers of membership?
I have no idea.
Where you get the
crying
on, where
you realise you can't get to a game, tiers. I don't know.
But yeah. But anyway, it's very good news that he's staying. I feel much happier. I felt in a state of unease every day, just knowing he might leave.
It did seem to get everybody out of that kind of stupor, didn't it?
It's just like, fine, I'm all right with this now. We'll settle down for summer. Even the talk of there not being huge amounts of money for transfers. I'm not happy about it, obviously, but I'm happier than I would be. Whereas a new manager would come in and want to sign all of his former players, because that's how unimaginative football managers are.
And we know, I think the big thing with this is that if whatever Andrea Radrizzani and Angus Gini and Victor Orta have been cooking up as their plan for next season, if it didn't sound legit to Marcelo Bielsa, he wouldn't have stayed. That was kind of the understanding. I think it's the way he's always worked. I think I've mentioned on here, it might even have been last week, his long press conference at Marseille where he lambasted their president for not honouring his commitments to transfers. So we could still have that. We could have his pre-match before the first game of the season is just an hour-long presentation on why Andrea Rezzani and Victor Orta have let him down again and again over the summer. And then he did that at Marseille at the start of his first season and then managed them to their best season in years, and the fans loved him as a legend. So it didn't hold him back. However, the important point is we worry at the start of every summer because we never keep a manager. This is the first time since Simon Grayson that a manager has started two consecutive seasons. So we always have this question of, one, who the fuck is going to be managing us next season? And then it's anxious from there. Whereas this year, we know who's going to be managing us next season. We know how demanding he is. And we know that it probably needed a considerable sales pitch from Leeds United to keep him.
Such as, we're going to have billions of pounds from Qatar.
We're not going to have billions, but we are going to have a new running track. And
some
water. And that's good enough.
Will that be the swimming pool?
Will it be the Qatar Airways running track?
Sold the sponsorship for another 100 mil.
Remote controlled filming of training. If you go have a look at TBG2005 on Twitter, the Beaten Generation, he's done some great work on the Bielsa Mobile, which he instituted at, I think it was at Marseille, basically a golf buggy with some TV screens on it.
It's not to be confused with the Bielsa Mobile, which was done by the fans, which was a transit van.
No, but they're all in one thread, so it might become confusing. But look for that and then find that. And yeah, he used to be able to, I don't think it ever actually got used, but he used to be able to drive around the training pitch and basically pull up alongside Berardi in his little golf buggy and show him on the screen where he's going wrong. But we're getting some sort of remote-controlled filming of training as well. So all those things.
Is it our training is filming, just to be clear?
It's not specified. And recommissioning the swimming pool. So it seems like the problem we had last season with finishing chances is going to be solved by teaching Patrick Bamford to swim.
He knows how to dive.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
That was very quick, wasn't it, that? Did you watch the Champions League final?
It was rubbish. Yeah.
Did you at any point do what I did, which was to have a leap of imagination? I thought, I wonder what Marcelo Bielsa's team would be like in this final. Because, you know, they're both kind of sitting back off each other and being a little bit negative, and there seemed to be no plan. Like, you thought, I was sort of thinking, Bielsa would have a plan here. Why aren't there any overloads out wide? That's what he's turned me into. He's turned me into a genuine, well, trying to be a football analyst in my own mind, like looking at the three on twos out wide, and why is the fullback not further up the pitch and stuff like that.
And that was one of my thoughts as well. I was looking at Pochettino and thinking, Poch, you are really letting Marcelo down here.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to face him after this? Like, you can't go and say, I got the Champions League final and I did that. He'll probably receive like a late night phone call from Bielsa at some point, probably months from now or the end of next season. When he's going back into the Champions League final again, he'll get a call. What were you doing last year?
Do you want any assistance?
I've just been watching it back 9 months after the fact. Yeah, it's all the news I needed to make me confident about next season. It just doesn't bear thinking about. Imagine we were sitting here and not only it was the takeover stuff, or if even that was news, but we were discussing who our next manager should be.
And got the odds list in front of us.
Oh.
Pardew's there at 8-1.
Fuck it.
Malky Mackay at 25s.
Is Paul Linton work? He always crops up.
It would have been tragic. Alan Smith.
Out of work.
He'd have been coming back, player manager.
John Woodgate, if he's not got the Middlesbrough job, knows the club.
He does know the club. All other sort of joking aside, it's dead important to have stability and continuity, isn't it? Bielsa or not. What you were just saying there, Moscow, about having the same boss and the same tactics and the same idea. They can all just come back, and apart from the new signings, whoever they may be, they know what they're doing straight away.
I don't want to harp on it, and I won't, but that's also another good argument against being taken over this summer. Like, let's leave that aside. Like, just if we don't rock the boat at the top, don't rock the boat at the bottom, don't sign anybody, don't sell anybody, just, yeah, we won't take it to that degree. But yeah, just not having all that furore, that's where my heart sank with the whole takeover story breaking again. It doesn't feel exciting to me. I just want another season like last season.
Perhaps with the addition of, well, if you think about even last season's additions, Bamford and Douglas, neither of them had a full pre-season under Bielsa. And maybe that told a little bit. I know they were both injured repeatedly, but maybe this time getting that under the belt, integrated a bit further, maybe it pays off just those extra few percent that we need.
And just fewer injuries. Fewer injuries, we could have gone up this year. It was that fine a margin, I think.
And you watched that playoff final. And
it was shit.
It was terrible, wasn't it? The standard of football. And again, you sat there thinking, Bielsa's Leeds would have probably won that game.
I mean, you say what you like about the Derby playoff defeat. Exciting game. Wasn't it though? You know,
it really was.
One day we'll look back at that game and laugh. Not now, obviously. And it is obviously much too painful. But Stuart Dallas's equaliser was an incredible moment of kind of sort of forbearance from the team to manage to come back. And at that point, we should then have had the momentum to go through. But yeah, having an absolute ding dong for who should go through to the final instead of how the final actually was. It probably would have been, we were joking about it in advance, probably would have been 6-5 if we played Villa at Wembley. A game that people would have been talking about for years. Instead, absolute rubbish.
We'll still be picking our heroes and villains for you again in a bit. First, to rifle through the other stuff that's been happening away from Bielsa and Qatar. Angus Kinnear, what in the hecky thump is this about?
The new independent chairman of the board at the British Weightlifting Association. I guess it's just called British Weightlifting. I've added association to try and make the sentence make sense. He is the independent chairman of the board at British Weightlifting. I don't know if it's forklift trucks, if it's giant haystacks, just big men.
Strong people, lifting stuff.
Salim Lamrani?
Out of all the people at the club, I was going to say, Kinnear doesn't strike me as the sort to be pumping iron in that respect.
No, we've seen him. We've met him. He didn't strike me as a man who was into his powerlifting, but...
I noticed you when you winked at me behind his back, our prearranged signal to drop him. But I just didn't think the moment was right. But we could have taken him.
I don't know. One of those weird things. A lot of the people saw this and thought, does this mean he's left? But people, just independent chairman of the board is like a thing that people do like 3 days a year. They go in to just talk through some shit.
Yeah, and he has got experience. It was mentioned in their release. I think he did 5 years working for British Commonwealth Athletics, and he's running us, so he knows sports administration, run Arsenal's commercial arm and West Ham he was involved in moving into. That makes sense. So he knows his shit. He worked for Coca-Cola as well. He's always had a like an executive, sports executive expertise that, and these guys as well, I think a lot of it will possibly, it's less about Kinnear pumping iron. It's more that their headquarters is just on Kirkstall Road in Leeds. So it's local, it's easy. He'll probably be head of rugby league soon. It's like, that's local, need some help. But the other option is that he comes back in August and he's absolutely hench.
Well, my plan for Bamford over summer was to make him massive, wasn't it?
Was it to force feed him steroids?
Force feed him steroids and get him in the gym with Lamrani. And we've got experts on board now. I expect to see him returning like Akinfenwa.
It could be, if they film it, it could be as strenuous as Alioski's rehab video that he tweeted out, which is
him tapping a tire with a hammer.
Again, I mean, I don't think we're making any grand claims for our own personal strength, but we could take Angus Kinnear if it's two of us on one, and I could I could definitely hit a tire with a hammer harder than Alioski. He does seem to punch like a cat. Like he's got little kitten punches.
We've discussed raised by animals, so he's probably not learning it from a human.
Yeah, once it was explained to him that in boxing you have to wear gloves so you can't just scratch, he was nullified.
He spent the first 18 years of his life living with creatures who don't have opposable thumbs.
So I think we could take him as well based on the evidence of that.
Speaking of massive footballers, did you see the size of the Tranmere centre-half in their playoff final? Okay, I thought there's a chance for me yet.
It's been a good sporting week for fat men.
Yeah, so. That the fat bloke who beat Joshua, what's his name? Big lad?
The big one, Neville Southall, I think.
That's the one. Yeah, well done for him. Well done for him. Good to see the larger gentleman getting a break for once. Hey, speaking of Bamford, we've got further on the Big Mick situation.
Yeah, Bamford needs to, he needs to watch himself because he's now been the subject of what I would, it's almost a withering put down. It's definitely a quip. He's been quipped at. And once Big Mick's quipped at you, you're not necessarily on his right side. He says, I think Patrick has to give me a call if he wants to. I think that's the way it works now. Bearing in mind all the conversation I've had with him, I left it with him. If he feels ready that he wants to come and do it, then give me a call.
Is he talking about playing for Ireland?
Yes. And then he does say afterwards that he'll probably be out of the job by the time Bamford makes his mind up, which is where the quip came in. It's not written down here, so I had to do it from memory. But it's something along those lines. He's basically said he's... Bamford is dilly-dallying so much.
He's Big not returning Mick his calls,
be,
is he?
Could be sacked by the time.
I do wonder, Michael, what do you think Big Mick and Patrick Bamford would talk about sat in a room together?
Presumably their childhood in Ireland. I don't know if they maybe grew up in a similar part of the country. Maybe just, you know, the glorious coastline there.
Childhood in Skerries.
Yeah, exactly.
Never tell you the story about Skerries. Skerries is about an hour north of Dublin. You know, I think it was 1999-ish when we did the pre-season tournament, something like that. Can't remember. Did we play Lazio? Have I made that up?
Something like that. Yeah, I remember what you mean.
Yeah, we went over there and got drunk. I think 99 might have been the Celtic one, but either
the
way,
fans or the players?
Around that time. And we got a bus out to Skerries, which is a fishing village, like about an hour north of Dublin. And we got to the last pub in town, bearing in mind we're in the middle of July, and there's a Christmas tree up. And so the landlord, what's going on here? What's going on? He says, oh, it's so quiet in this town. We celebrate Christmas twice. That was it. Skerries.
Well, there you go.
I think it's with Bamford, I think there was probably an element of him having flashbacks to Sean Dyche and the treatment he got from him at Burnley, where he's being bullied for being having violin lessons, and also probably just a communication problem. The conversations I've had with him, says Mick, I can imagine Bamford hanging up afterwards and turning to his nanny and just saying, I'm sorry, I haven't got a clue what that gentleman was saying. Now, does anybody here speak Northern?
Mick famously refused to meet Margaret Thatcher, didn't he? So he's not a fan of the Tories, so maybe that's a thorny issue.
Maybe there's instructions from on high, do not consort with that communist.
Well, Bamford's not going to seek to go represent an EU country, is he, under current circumstances? That's a given.
I think, yeah, McCarthy needs to just give up on that, and Bamford would just have to wait his turn for representing Albion.
When it comes to Albion, we've got a few youngsters, haven't we? Jamie Shack, well done. He got a call up to the under-20s.
Yes.
Which Tom Pearce was already in, which seems odd because Shackleton surely is a better player than Pearce.
This is his first international call-up as well, by the looks of things. And there's, yeah, there's also, because there's the under-20s World Cup is on, where Maciej Bogus didn't play for Poland, but I mean, he's only 17, but they got knocked out. And this isn't that. This is the tournoi, and they lost to Japan.
Was it on Japan's under-22s, though?
I mean, it's really fucking confusing.
Youth levels of football are really strange. Because you get, like you say, there's under-17s World Cup and an 18s and a 19s and a 20s and a 23s. And then there's an additional ones. It is confusing.
And Shaq was called up about 2 days before it started as well. I think he might have been with training with them. And then they said, yeah, you can stay. I don't think he was just called up like he had to get on the plane.
Spring break!
Yeah, it's very... Anyway, Pierce actually looked all right. I watched a bit of this, but it wasn't a very good match. Pierce was bombing down the left, looked pretty good, and Shackleton didn't come on, and England scored a goal from a corner. So set piece work, still very good, very English stuff, and Japan were just much better.
Well, speaking of Bamford there, he's got a butler. Well, what about Alfie McCalmont?
Very good.
One for the 90s indie rock fans there.
Yes, I do feel better now that you made that joke. Alfie McCalmont has gone to Ireland senior squad, Northern Ireland senior squad. God, that mistake I don't want to make. He's
what do you say, Moscow? Hard border now?
BPF and Dallas are taking him through the barricades straight from the junior teams into the senior setup, which is good. He's kind of, I've only seen bits of him in the under-23s. I can't claim to be any expert, but he's been playing the Calvin Phillips role there to great acclaim, and he's 19, so he's kind of when we do sell Calvin, I'm sure this training this summer will stand him in good stead.
Don't say that. We don't sell our young players. We keep them. They stay with us forever, and they become champions of Europe. Because are we claiming that as well? Milner, Horsforth's James Milner,
yes,
won the Champions League.
We couldn't lose, really, because we had Danny Rose on the other side as well, didn't we? We'd have had a bit of reflective glory either way.
I think the reflected glory we really want from Danny Rose is that sell-on fee. So I'm hoping that as part of Pochettino's analysis of that match, he thinks I need a new fullback. Not problem with Danny Rose, but now is the time. Maybe that would hold off this whole idea of selling bits of the club for investment if we just get some investment by the back door from Manchester United buying him. But yes, we are, Leeds United are now, well, Leeds the city, are champions of Europe again, 1975 and 2019.
Still wonderful. And always. I mean, that was quite moving seeing Jimmy Milner lifting the European Cup, but not quite as moving and not as, you know, really got me in the feels did this one. Young Rob Green lifting the Europa League, and then he hung up his gloves immediately afterwards.
He's had a good stint at Chelsea, hasn't he, as well?
You know, literally the last game of football he played, of professional football, was for us against
Did he never play for Huddersfield?
Never played a game for Huddersfield.
Nope. Jesus.
It was when he, him throwing the ball into the net to give Newkey a goal is basically his last act as a first
Newkey.
Team. Newkey, Newport.
I mean, I know we played some shit in recent years, but Newkey.
The ball just surfed over his hand and into the post. Newport, that's the last game he played.
Wow. Mind you, it's a nice way to wind down your retirement, just sitting around doing fuck all for a couple of years.
Speaking of which, Ross McCormack, he's just been released this evening from Villa, hasn't he?
After signing a variation agreement. Has he varied his contract?
Could that mean he's not earning the £70,000 a week that he's entitled to?
Which is an odd move, because they can finally afford to own him, and now this is the moment they choose to let him go.
Or they can finally afford to get rid of him.
Has anyone suggested we sign him yet?
Could do a job.
I don't think he could.
See him in a Bielsa team?
We're a very hard worker.
To be fair, I watched some of his games for Melbourne when he was on loan, and yes, a ginger, slightly less than ideal weight for an top athlete, Scotsman running about in the hot Australian sunshine was fucking hilarious. Actually, it's probably the best part of the game was watching what an absolute cob he had on. So him and, I mean, the dream strike force for pre-season, assuming if Roof goes and Bamford's broken again, McCormack and Lasoga. McCormack playing just behind him, obviously, in the Enganche role, which he basically saves us from relegation playing in that position on single-handed. So bringing back with somebody as lithe and as wiry and as wily as Lasoga ghosting into the box like a fat.
I'm just imagining the T-Rex, you know, with the water shaking in the cups in Jurassic Park. Hey, Roof's been linked with Villa, hasn't he? So we don't want to see that. Make that stop. Make that go away.
Yeah, go somewhere else if you're going. That's my thing. Go abroad. Somewhere where you won't sort of be around to annoy us. I wish him well if he is going. I don't want him to go. I want Roof to stay. I'm going to keep just returning more reasons why I don't want a takeover. Number 562, because I really like some of the players we've got and I don't want to replace them, even if the ones we get are better, because I'm sentimental.
Pontus has been linked to Benfica as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's kind of a tenuous one. It's all if they sell their centre-half to Man United, they might replace him. But he has done a big interview in Sweden where he, for once, said good things, because we always get... Generally, he does an interview when he's on international duty and then he has to do a few tweets saying, listen, Google Translate, not always the most reliable. But this, it did start off a little bit where he was saying that training with Sweden, saying it's fun to play football again after running for a full year and to be able to play some small team games. And you're thinking, are you just straight out dissing Bielsa? But they said, no, he's joking. I've had fantastic development with Bielsa and I know how much he cares about me. I have developed as a player and as a person, and how I train, sleep and eat as a tremendous development, and everything is more or less thanks to him. Sure, it has been tough and many long exercises, but you've got to take that. But what he's done with our team has been absolutely fantastic. And on his future, he says that he's still got the dream of taking the step up to the Premier League and he wants to do that with Leeds. And it's entirely up to Leeds if there's any interest for them in negotiating selling him. Until that happens, I'm 110% Leeds. I'll be there until the day they say they don't want me. But when you get a question about this after another season, it's tough. Give me a holiday and some beer and then I'll be back to England and running again. That all sounds very good. It's probably all just designed to make his £18 million transfer to Norwich sound like it's the club's fault.
Stop being so bloody negative. We're getting taken over by billions and we've got Marcelo Bielsa. Next season, telling you, we're up, then fourth, then champions. That's how it works.
It's good. It's a good interview from Pontus Janssen. He sounds ready to stay and ready to get promoted and ready to run.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Heroes and villains now then. People who've made our life better. People who've made our life worse. First of all, we'll do the worst. Is the Ken Bates Villainy Award. This is an award for somebody who has made our life a little bit less enjoyable, named in Ken's honour, because he did that plenty, and he has to get a nomination. That's the custom. What's he having it for this time?
This week, it's being mean to Casper Schmeichel.
Oh, lovable,
of all people.
Lovable Casper.
I mean, I don't know. He's such a nice lad, isn't he? We won't go through it in detail because it's boring and it's just a son of a scummer just whinging on, basically. But
I've started to think maybe that was the problem.
He said he didn't have a great season for Leeds, he says, and he was offered by Sven, called me and said, do you want to come to Leicester? And at first, Schmeichel said, yes, get me away. But then he said, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to tough it out at Leeds. And then the next thing he knew, people phoning him up and said, congratulations, you've moved to Leicester. And it was all announced, and he had to put out his statement, which people who were around at the time may remember, with him saying that he'd been sold against his will without his agreement to Leicester. And then I had Ken Bates ring me and the gist was that either I left or I was with the academy for the season. I'd already said no to Leicester at this point because I thought I needed to play, and they were in the process of signing someone else, so I had to ring Sven and say, I don't know what's going on, but if you want me, I'm there 100%. I want to work for you again. And he rang me back and said, we're a bit far down the line with someone else. I was tearing my hair out, sat in Denmark, and all this carnage. In the end, he rang me back about 11 at night and said, we'll get it done. Presumably that's the best time to do a deal with Ken Bates, because he's well into the Pooley fume.
I saw this video. What was it from again? Was it a Five Live thing, or was it a podcast or something? I can't remember.
I just read the version. I wouldn't like to watch Casper Schmeichel speaking with his face. I just read the transcript.
It was him and Joe Hart talking about, and someone else. Who was the other guy?
Yeah.
Casper Schmeichel, obviously, it reflects very badly on the club at the time. It sounds like it was just a shambles and he was being forced out because we wanted the money, and maybe Grayson really wanted Andy Lonergan, was it?
Yes. Well, no, it was we signed Lonergan and Rehubka together to replace Schmeichel.
And together, maybe they would have been...
almost as good.
Almost as good. but Schmeichel was moaning about how he was never made to feel welcome and stuff. But I don't remember him getting a bad reception at all. I remember people being really quite excited that he'd signed.
There was a song about his dad.
But it was
tongue-in-cheek, but obviously he's a younger man at that point. And instead of kind of leaning into it and laughing and going, yeah, ha, I get it now, I'm one of you, he kind of, by the sounds of it, he was a bit sensitive to it.
Well, that's why he's also nominated for villain. Because he says, it was just the wrong club for me at that time. It was very clear very early on that it was the wrong club for me. It was a club where I was not accepted, and with my father's history, it was evident among the fans that they did not approve of that.
Fair
I
point.
Just didn't feel welcome at all by the whole club. And that's the manager as well, Simon Grayson. He didn't give me any kind of confidence, which I was wonderful mental image since he said that of Simon Grayson. Every time he comes into work, him greeting him, him and Snod serenading him, your dad's a... you're all right. Hey, Leeds, Leeds, Leeds. Showing him videos of January 3rd on a loop. Here's it. Oh, have you sent the training clips through to Casper? You know what I sent him, boss? Brian Flynn's goal in 1981. Mel Sterling's at Old Trafford going absolutely pinging a free kick, crashing it past his dad. Lee Chapman scoring against Papa Schmeichel. All this. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Casper. We gave you the wrong video. I hope that's what it was like in retrospect at the time. And you're exactly right. That whole song about his dad was saying, you're all, that was the emphasis. The emphasis was on you're all right. I don't know how much, what more he expected from Leeds fans, especially being the son of who he was the son of.
It's very hard to fit into a song as well, that we have a begrudging respect for your dad, who was obviously one of the best goalkeepers of the modern era. However, as an opposition player, one of our main rivals, we were never fond of him.
Yes.
However, that doesn't change the way we feel about you, which is that you seem to be a promising young goalkeeper.
That's the sort of thing that Marcelo Bielsa would do, though, isn't it? That was the Bielsa answer, that one.
That's what we did. That's what the whole sentiment was. We'll get over this with you, Casper.
It may be like a bit of nuance in the song.
I mean, if you look at the reworking of that, maybe even verse two, the one to Tom Ince was always a pleasant follow-on from that, wasn't it? Anybody else?
Sean Harvey again. We can still blame him. I think he's still... in the position, he's leaving.
I think he left at the end
Sean Harvey.
end of May.
He probably put the paperwork in for it. It reported in the Daily Mail today that the EFL want to clamp down on social media point scoring from clubs' Twitter accounts.
Why?
And will communicate a proper policy.
Why?
Because we did it. We drew attention to it, didn't we?
But yeah, why is exactly? It's not a sporting thing. Yeah. Granted, if Millwall's official Twitter start like posting turkey flags when we play them or something, which I wouldn't entirely put past them, fair enough. If it's something like grotesquely inappropriate, yeah, all right. But that shouldn't really, even that's not really for the EFL to decide. That's just for someone to say, don't be such pricks about something serious. But if it's just a bit of like mocking.
And I say this as somebody who, if you gave me the option, I don't really like all that stuff. I find it a little bit like official accounts getting joked. It's like you'll often see people respond to that stuff now, where they say silence brand, when like Budweiser have just put out all kinds of gender friendly varieties of beer, and just brand, be quiet. And I feel like that about the football Twitter thing.
Was that because you're a joyless prick?
No, I think it's because it's not really the club's place to act like fans. I think that's why I'm not keen on it on a like a conceptual level, but
facts. That's all the club should pump out.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It's if you imagine the match programs suddenly read like a fanzine. we'd be annoyed. So that's part of it. So they're kind of stepping out, like Vamos leads Caraggio hours, and then the club have kind of co-opted it. And I kind of think, yeah, clubs can't, because when we are being run by Qatari gas rich billionaires, does the humour then start to ring a little hollow in that when we're baiting Norwich about mustard or something? I don't know. I just, it's a weird world. But I do look at several of the tweets, particularly from our club, and laugh. And because especially the one that got everybody's backs up, referencing the kid from One Direction, people didn't realise that there is a whole backstory about the whole beef between Leeds United and, is it Niall? Niall?
Horan, yeah.
Yeah, you should know. That's your world. So this is that it referenced, so it's like it was the culmination of a thing, which in itself is weird. Yeah, it's kind of, it's one of those things that if I had the choice about modern football, I'd probably just switch that aspect off. But as it exists, I revel in it, and the Football League should absolutely not be ruling against it. It's there. And if it's going to, you know, if there's going to be a long-running, involved Shakespearean psychodrama going on between the Twitter account of Leeds United and the Twitter account of Niall Horan from One Direction, all related to the fortunes of Derby County Football Club, bring it on. Anyway, Raul Bravo.
Has he been an allegedly naughty boy?
He's been leading poor old...
Or bad hombre.
Poor old Samu astray, hasn't he, potentially?
I mean, it was bad enough when he played for us, Raul Bravo, who we were promised he was going to be the upgrade on Ian Hart that we really needed.
We desperately wanted Raul Bravo to be brilliant, and he wasn't, was he?
Imagine getting a reserve from Real Madrid and they're not quite living up to our hopes.
A pattern never to be repeated.
But he's come back into our lives to take poor, innocent Samu Saiz away with him. Although, fortunately, poor innocent Samu Saiz seems to be just on holiday in the sunshine.
It was reported that he'd been arrested for match fixing, whereas it seems he's now just given a statement relating to it.
It might be one of those legal technicalities where maybe if you're a witness, there's a legal status. There's probably something lost in translation, like giving a statement.
But it seems to relate to his time at Huesca anyway, when he was still there.
As long as it's not affecting us.
Well, it seems to relate to a match that Huesca played while he was a Leeds United player. So it's a match fix. This, if anybody's not seen it, it's match fixing allegations.
Has it been reported as Leeds match fixing scandal?
Well, it was. There was a lot of very keen reporting about Samu Saiz being basically in jail for match fixing on the morning that it broke. But they're investigating games at all levels of Spanish football. Money laundering, corruption. Raul Bravo does seem to be one of the ringleaders, according to the reports. Not my opinion. I don't know anything about it. I'm not accusing him or any of his legal representatives. And Huesca's chairman and people seem to be also, I think, may have been arrested, certainly are closer to it than him. The worry would be, so if he's not played in the game, what's his involvement with a match that was being played in Huesca while he's a Leeds player and it was the back end of last season? Kind of boring. Please, please, please don't have put a bet on, is what I'm saying.
So what we're saying is everyone's dead innocent and there's nothing to see here. Please move on.
Especially Samu Saiz.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Do we have any more runners and riders, or should we pick a winner from that Sean Harvey as his parting gift from the Football League?
I think we gave him it. He had his parting gifts the other week. I want to give it to Kasper Schmeichel.
He's officially left, though, this week.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Mind you might not have seen this, but you know on our WhatsApp number, we got an anonymous tip-off. Somebody said, just a heads up, and there may be no truth in it, but someone who I know who went to the League Manager Association Awards told me that Sean Harvey is being lined up for the Premier League chief exec role.
And if you do have our WhatsApp number, which is available, and you do want to start a rumour... It is as easy as that. I'm not criticising the person in question who sent that tip off. It could be absolutely true. I'm just saying it will be now as easy as that for you to have a rumour spread through this podcast.
07899 555 459.
We will accept anything and read literally anything out. But there's been some word of that. That's not actually based in nothing. There's been some reports that he has been considered for the Premier League chief executive role. And I mean, somebody took that job and then decided they didn't want it in the end. So it is becoming a bit of a poisoned chalice, difficult to find anybody to take over. Who are we going to give
it
to?
Who's on the jobs market?
Yeah, this is starting to drag. We've got to name somebody. Like, well, can we just give him like a 1-year contract or something? And then within a week, the Premier League is on fire. Hey, I wouldn't mind it. Bring it crashing down. We were saying before, football needs to be poorer. There is no better man to drain all the money out of it and send it all crashing into administration than Sean Penfold Harvey.
Well, Sean Harvey has generally in his career managed to move money to the rich, hasn't he? That's kind of been his, including himself now at the Football League, given his enormous salary he was picking up there. So maybe, I don't know where that goes in the Premier League. I'm not quite sure who. Maybe Paul Pogba will just get £3 million a week or something as a result of changes he brings in.
Well, I'm all for giving it to Sean Harvey as a parting gift. You seem to be saying Casper then, Moscow.
Yeah, because I'd like Sean Harvey's leaving due to be attended by nobody. I'd like his parting gift to be just like a massive box with a small dog shit in it.
What are you feeling, Michael?
I'd give it to Casper.
All right then, I've been swayed. Let's go Casper Schmeichel then.
For living up to his dad's song.
On to the Andy Hughes Hero Award. This is an award given to somebody who has made us smile a little bit in the last week. So obviously Marcelo Bielsa's in there because he's staying and he's ours forever and he's never going to leave us. Are you, Daddy? You're never going to leave.
Still a bit uncomfortable with you calling him Daddy.
You love Mummy, don't you?
Who's that, Lamrani?
I bet he looked good in the dress.
Yeah, probably. So he's...
Anybody with Photoshop out there? Because we had it for a while. It didn't really catch on, the Cure shirts on fire. But if you do want to send us photos of Celine Lamrani in a dress, at the Square Ball on Twitter.
Who else?
James Milner. I bet he'd look good in a dress.
It's good. The thing is, he's a utility man, isn't he?
Mini skirts for Milner. I'm calling it now.
Do a job for you, won't he?
If you need a woman, Milner will be there.
Pop that on James. And we can't forget Rob Green as well because he won the Europa League. Obviously, you can't win it because it's not as good as the Champions League.
Had his gloves on though, didn't he? Still full goalkeeper attire, absolutely clean kit.
Speaking of the social media stuff that club accounts are doing, did you see the slightly satirical video that Chelsea then did the next day? They did. I only saw the trailer for it. I think there might have been more of it on Chelsea TV, but they basically made like a mock mini documentary with Rob Green. Saying, you know, my entire life had built up to this moment and putting loads of like romantic music on it. And this was the greatest night of everybody's life. So Rob Green did actually, that did all make me laugh. I didn't begrudge him.
That's a smile though. It's not joy. Yeah, we want to reward joy.
Also, it was completely undercut by the fact that it was Chelsea.
And while Milner, obviously massive tick in that box, still made Liverpool fans happy. So I'm not sure we can give that to him. So it's got to be by default Bielsa. Are we going for Bielsa?
Not even by default, just absolutely the right decision. He's made Leeds United fans happy everywhere. That day when the announcement was made, just all stress and anxiety just left, didn't it? And then we had the takeover rumours started 2 days later. So that was that. But 2 days of bliss with Bielsa.
Well, we are now favourites to win the division next year. Speaking of Bielsa, how does that make you feel?
It's been a while, hasn't it, since we've been favourites. I suppose we were favourites to win League One, probably, for 3 years in a row, I would imagine. Maybe not the first year, actually, but yeah, certainly in the Grayson year, when we scraped second. And I would accept scraping second again.
If we are favourites, that means you'll be able to get decent odds on betting against us now, Michael.
It's too early for that. When we storm into a 10-point lead, I will be doing the same.
Yep. Do you know what? If we get into a 10-point lead, I still won't be convinced now based on what happened this last season.
And you'll be joining me, won't you, in the anti-Leeds gambling?
Do you know what? I'm more convinced now than I was last season that we will go up as effing champions. I think we will.
Nothing needs to happen. It's happened. Bielsa is staying, so we're going up as champions.
Okay.
And the other information on this, so we're favourites alongside Fulham. If the bookies are correct, the table next year will read Leeds, Fulham, West Brom, Cardiff, Stoke, Huddersfield. What a joke mess that is. If we can't win that, come on.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? Do check out the summer special that we've got in the pipeline. Links to that on the website. And please, 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 if you can spare a few quid a month and you want to support us on this podcast, we'll bring you more material every single week. Check out the Extra Ball, the stablemate to this podcast. You can find that at thesquareball.net. We'll be back on the Extra Ball and we will be back speaking to you again next week.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.